And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." In the parable, Jesus tells the man is bruised, beaten, and he is left for dead on the side of the road. And he, if anybody, certainly needed help. He needed rescue. And when there seemed to be a chance of that to come from the priest and the Levite, it did not come. They left him and went on about their business. But help does come to him. And it comes to him in the parable in an odd form. It's a Samaritan who stops by, one who is a member, or probably a half member, of the northern tribes of Israel, already carried off into captivity and dispersed to the four corners of the world. The Samaritan comes and he sees the man, sees the Jew, and he has compassion on him. And he stops and he helps in a big league way. More than bandage the fellow, he takes him, places him on his own animal, and diverts his path away from whatever business that he had that was so important, and takes time and energy and money to help this poor soul. Goes to the inn, spends the night there caring for him, and promises the innkeeper in the morning what very few people would do, a blank check. "Whatever you spend to take care of him while I'm gone, I will repay you when I come back." This guy goes above and beyond the call of duty, does he not? Who would say that he doesn't? And it's a beautiful picture, this parable that Jesus tells, of what sacrificial love looks like. It is a selfless thing. It is a generous thing. It is a free thing. But this parable is more than a mere example for us of how to live. It is that. Yes, of course it's that. Jesus says as much. But with this parable, we also have something else, a dear and a good lesson in comfort that is so much deeper than just a life template. Along with everything else that this parable of our Lord Jesus teaches us, it gives us a summary, a picture of what our own salvation, our own reconciliation to God looks like. The man was fallen among thieves, that guy in the parable. He is a picture of our own miserable condition under sin, death, and the devil, as we are by ourselves. Wounded by sin, beaten by death, and robbed of righteousness and fellowship with God by the devil, we are, as Paul says, dead in our trespasses. Like the man, what are we? In and of ourselves, by ourselves, we're helpless. We are destitute. And left to ourselves, we're going to perish on the side of the road along the way. And keeps going the comparison. Just as the priest and the Levite fail to help this person in such dire straits, the law of Moses and Mount Sinai, they fail to help. They cannot aid us as we are unjust and sinners broken. They do not bring us salvation. No, we need something much better than that, much greater. We need a Savior. And that's what came along. Like the Samaritan, Jesus was a foreigner, as it were. Not from around here, as folks like to say. He came as one from heaven. And as the Samaritans were despised, they certainly were, by the Jews, Jesus, when he came, was despised by his own people. But nevertheless, when he came, well, he came. He came anyway. He saw our wretched state of mankind, and what did he do? He had compassion. And he did what the law and Moses could never do. Taking what was his own, he took us and bound us up in our wounds, wounded sinners that we are, and he carried our griefs and our sorrows himself, much like the Samaritan carried the man on his donkey. And in forgiving us, this Jesus Christ has in fact healed us. Like the Good Samaritan, Jesus gives medicine, healing medicine, to our wounded souls, each one of us individually. It's first applied to us, as most of us probably don't remember, in the washing of our holy baptism, giving us the gifts of the Spirit, forgiveness and salvation. And though the washing of baptism is a thorough washing, and it is complete, we know that sin persists in this fallen world. It keeps rearing its ugly head time and again. And for that sin that persists after baptism, Jesus keeps helping. He offers the healing medicine of the forgiveness of sins that we find when we come to the sacrament of the altar, to the Lord's Supper. We come to the Lord's table when we come wounded, left for dead from our sin. And there, here, the same Jesus Christ who healed so many people during his earthly ministry comes and heals us again in our wounded souls. Jesus has compassion on us in our pitiable state, binds up our wounds again, comforts our consciences again. In the hymn we just sang, we speak of this very thing. It calls the Lord's Supper a balm to heal the troubled soul. Indeed, what the fathers said is true, the church fathers, that Jesus' body and blood, communion, it is the medicine of immortality, bringing healing to the wounded, life and immortality to the dead. And we believe that the healing that has begun in the Lord's Supper will finally, once and for all, be complete on the day of resurrection, that great day when our eyes behold him and not another. So, take the help of the Good Samaritan Jesus as he offers it to you. Believe, confess, and worship with St. Ambrose, who rightly said, "Because I always sin, I always take the medicine." Our great physician, our true Good Samaritan, says to us, "Take, eat, drink of it all of you. Do this often." Let us listen. Listen to him and accept the aid and help that we so desperately need.